This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
NBA player, and they have run amok trying to find these backup point guards over the years. Now, look, some might think Pajemski, who starts the majority of games, is a backup point guard. Yeah. Let's just say he's not, and let's throw him to the side. He's a starter. You could do a hell of a lot worse than Pat Spencer as a third point guard or a backup point guard. And trust me, I watch the Warriors do a lot worse. Brad Wanamaker.
What did Guru call him? Wanamisser? That was all time.
Look, they had CP3 last year. I'm telling you, CP3 couldn't guard anyone, right? And it felt like when he got his offensively, no one else was going. Right. And he had games. I'm not here to say that he didn't have games. Pat Spencer brings a level of athleticism on both ends of the floor this team dramatically needs. He fought for multiple big rebounds, multiple big possessions that were on the floor diving. He got a charge call. Pat Spencer was doing things.
888-957-9570. Not quite the Brazilian blur, if you will. But you know what? He's fundamentally sound.
Yes.
That's what he does. And I swear he gets so much space and separation whenever he's taking a shot, whether it's driving, whether it's stopping, whether the footwork, everything. The things that you can control as a player like Pat Spencer, he does so well. And it translates on big moments because the moments don't look too big because he's been here before. Like, there is something to be said about guys that have taken different types of paths that have had to play overseas. What are you laughing at? What are you looking at?
Text line is just coming in with Pat Spencer stuff. I got it. What is it? The Boxer and Gerson text
line? Injury attorney's text line.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go. Pat Spencer is Fitzmagic.
That's not bad. That's actually a great comp.
Pat Spencer has dethroned Joe Ingles as the number one YMCA looking player in the NBA.
That's pretty good. I'm not mad at that.
Every time I think of Pat Spencer and I see him, I think of Peter from Deadpool, played by actor Rob Delaney. That is spot on.
Now, he looks like Uncle Rico. But Uncle Rico actually got another shot, but
yes.
Now he's back and he's like, how much you want to bet I could throw a football over Dead Mountains? How much you want to bet I could shoot a basketball over Dead Mountains right
Pat
now?
Pat Spencer needs a 24-hour fitness contract right now.
Let's go to Adam in SF, who's actually in New Jersey. Okay, it's a little inception here. Adam, what you got, man? How we feeling about the Warriors win?
I will say, okay, obviously got to feel good, right? You lose your best player. We had that big lead. We built an even bigger lead. We held on. We got the win. That was a gritty effort. I love Steve Kerr's, I think the right word to use is manipulation of the lineups in the sense of, you just played a game 7 48 hours ago. You can't just play all your main guys, especially with Steph going out an exuberant amount of minutes. And every guy that came in off the bench, gave a little spark. I'm happy for Kuminga that he was able to contribute. He still looked a little wacky out there, but it's hey, we needed those points. That three he hit was huge. Gary Payton's timely threes in the fourth were huge. Looney was amazing. But your question was the emotion. As soon as Steph walks back to the locker room, it's all right, maybe he's cramping up. But then the news that he's out and it's a hamstring, I was going into the third quarter, even up 23, what are we going to do for the rest of this series? However, Steve Kerr is a good enough coach that that's why you went and got Jimmy Butler, right? And you have a bunch of players around him that you can still, you know, be competitive in. You can still win games in. So I'm happy about the win. We stole game one. That's huge. So we'll see what happens the rest of the time. I'm going to go talk to the NBA review board up here in Secaucus in 28 minutes. So I'll let you guys know how that meeting goes.
Thank you. That's Adam in San Francisco in New Jersey. 888-957-9570. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And as you know, Joe, it is a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes, and visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today.
Hey, I'm Ludman. I'm going to be at Freedman's Appliances this Saturday with Mark Grant.
There you go. Hey, Sam, that's a great thing. That was a great thing you did out at Freedman's Appliance with Mark Grandy. Speaking of the emotional levels of this game and Stephen Curry being out, we're going to be joined by Doc Pondia in about 60 minutes, 7:20, and he's our 95.7 The Game Injury Health Insider, and he's a professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF. And you know Dr. Pondia, if you're a Warriors fan, you probably follow him on Twitter. He's a huge Warriors fan, and he will give us the breakdown of a hamstring strain, the grades, different levels of it, and what to look for when the news eventually does come out, when they have this MRI, and, you know, the Shams, whoever's going to have it, it's probably going to be Shams, Shrania, ESPN, Anthony Slater, The Athletic, our guy. When we get that news, we will relay that information, and we'll go from there. But we're reacting to that win last night, and what did it mean for you, Dub Nation? 99-88. You go up 1-0 in this series. Game two tomorrow, most likely, and I'm going to call it, he's not playing Stephen Curry.
Of course not.
And you don't want him to play in a game like this, and that's going to be this thing to monitor. Even if it's a grade one or like, oh, he's day-to-day going forward, hamstrings are no joke. You have got to be so damn careful with that. We see it in the NFL. We see it in Major League Baseball. Does not matter. The hamstring is just what an athlete uses. Golf, tennis, it doesn't matter. You need your legs, Joe, and then it affects you big time. Yeah.
So, okay, game two is Thursday.
Correct.
All right, that'll be a couple days. Game three is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What will that be, 4 or 5 days?
Well, let's just go from that night. So 1, 2, 3, it'll be on the fourth day.
Okay, so then Monday is game four. That would be 6 days?
Yeah, about, yes.
Okay, that's a week, give or take.
Sure.
Right, depending on how you look at it. Then game five would be again on Wednesday.
Correct.
Okay. That would be
8 days.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So if we're being realistic and we're saying he's out, you know, about a week, you're hoping he can return somewhere Monday, Wednesday, Friday of next week.
Right.
That's on the optimistic end.
Right.
That's what you're hoping. So here's what I would say. This is why you got Jimmy. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. No one thinks this is going to be easy, but you do have multiple Hall of Fame players. You do have a multi-time champion head coach who is maybe coaching at a level he's never coached at.
Mm.
You do have a lot of young guys who come out of game one feeling pretty good about themselves. I mean, Moody did nothing. Quinn Post did nothing. Pods really didn't do a whole lot offensively. I thought he did a lot of little things to help win. But his shot can come around even more. GP2, God, he's defensively wasn't as good as you would like, but he hit a big three.
He did.
Right?
He had 4 assists, too.
Kuminga, I feel like that was a huge confidence-building game for him. I'm hoping he can build on that. I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hoping that he can. I think Jimmy can do more scoring. I don't know about Draymond. Can he sustain 4 threes in a game? I don't know. But if he plays that focused, understanding the stakes, I mean, maybe Steph returns and it's 2-2. Maybe Steph returns and we're down 1-2. Maybe he returns and we're down 3-2 in the series.
What if you're up 2-1?
Maybe. I still think we can win this series, even if Steph doesn't play another minute in the series. I'm not saying it's easy. It would require heroic efforts from a variety of guys. But I'm not as doom and gloom as everybody else. Like, there were so many big positives takeaway. I know Minnesota's going to play better. Trust me, I know. But I'm not just waving the white flag because Steph's out for 3 or 4 games. I'm not. I'm just not going to do that today.
No, well, I'm not waving the white flag either. But I think for a lot of people, and Adam and SF, and a lot of people waking up, it's what it signifies, not just for this series, but potentially after. And I know you're not allowing yourself to even think anything
just
past
worried
that.
About right now.
Of course. But it's just You know, and that's why I brought up that Rocket series. Man, it would have been nice to finish that up when you were up 3-1.
Of course.
To wrap it up in five. Because, you know, that's what you go to. You played a lot of intense, heavy minutes in games 6 and 7, and it was a contributing factor. Yes, the 9 games in 15 days towards the end of the season was also a contributing
13
factor.
13 back-to-backs. Steph played in, yes. I believe, 11 or 12.
Yeah, and that's part of why a lot of people were skeptical about this team making such a deep run, is because of the age factor and the wear and tear.
Of course.
And it eventually gets to you. Now, we'll wait and see with this series, because that is one of the things that Minnesota has in their back pocket over the Warriors, and a lot of teams does, is the youth. Their best player is 23 years old, Anthony Edwards. And best believe he's going to have a game or multiple games in this series that he's going to go off, and he's going to try to will this team to a win. He tried to do it yesterday. They cut the lead to 9 points. They had a chance to get it to 8, and they go on a quick 5-0 run, push that lead back up to 14, and the rest was history there with about 5 minutes to go in that game. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this team takes shape going forward, because as you said, we've seen Jimmy with, you know, not the greatest supporting cast,
nope,
in Miami go to 2 NBA finals. And it's going to be Draymond Green having to score more. It's going to be, let's be honest, Brandon Podziemski's going to have to score more. That was not a good offensive game for Pods yesterday. He's going to have to do more.
But he's going to have to keep being as, you know, I don't know if he'll get that same performance, but he's going to have to still be a good player.
And we're asking a guy to be consistent when he's had nothing but inconsistency all season long. So, but again,
he's playing his best stretch of ball.
He is.
Right now.
No, he is. But again, it's just
last 2 games.
It just goes to show, like, everyone's going to need to step up.
The margins are razor thin.
Yeah, but if they were razor thin before the Steph injury, just so much more after that with that Steph injury now with the hamstring strain. 8-8-9.
But here's what I like about this matchup more than anything. Like, you reference, like, the youth, you know, the Timberwolves, and they do. There's no doubt. But with that youth comes inexperience and situational basketball.
I hate saying inexperience because they were in the Western Conference Finals last year. Like, this is an
Julius Randle is not a playoff performer.
Well, he's played in the playoffs, though.
Okay.
So, like, I hear you
on
that.
I think he's one of the more selfish players that I've seen. He does not understand winning playoff basketball. Just, again, a glimpse of yesterday. He played really well in the Lakers series, and I was impressed with him. But yesterday, the book is out. We're going to let you get whatever you want as a score, but you're not going to really affect winning one way or the other. You're going to give hollow points, and it's going to come at the expense of others touching the ball.
I would expect this team and Julius Randle towards the end of that game and Anthony Edwards, they were just drive to the paint. And I expect that to be the game plan next time. They're not going to fully just go balls to the wall, 3-point shots. They're going to try to get theirs into the paint and try to use their size, their youth, their athleticism on you, which I didn't know, like, why they weren't doing that earlier in the game. But again, credit to the Warriors defense. They were hounding them.
Yes.
I want to make sure we get this clear. It was an incredible defensive effort from the Golden State Warriors. Two things can be true, right? Shout out Ralph Ballerio. Two things can be equally true. The Warriors were great defensively, and Minnesota was just awful offensively, some of their shot selections. They were just bad. They're like, at one point, what was it, like 30 points halfway through the third quarter? It felt like it was horrible.
But the Warrior team, even with Steph Curry not playing and before Jimmy came, this has been a matchup that has favored them. I'm talking about Minnesota.
No, yeah.
And I know there's different parts, yeah. There's different aspects to it. But Joe, no, it is what it is. Like, this is not a team that's going to, like, blow your doors off as a shooting squad. They're not. Like, who do you, okay, Anthony Edwards. Who else do you fear from beyond the arc?
Nas Reed. He was shooting pretty well yesterday.
I don't disagree with that.
Julius Randle was shooting well from beyond the arc in the Lakers series, but again, this is a different series, so we'll see. I know Mike Conley can hit a couple of them. You know,
Will have a game.
The guy that needs to hit for them consistently off the bench is probably Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and then starting again.
That's asking a lot.
It is, but it's like what you ask for, you know, Gary Payton, right? Can you hit a couple of them when you're out there? And it changes things. Gary was able to hit a couple. We're up against it, Joe, so I want to take a quick break. Come on back. We have Nick at Berkeley, Mike and San Leandro, Coach Hall, San Diego, Aubrey and Villalo. We're going to get to all of you guys, plus Dr. Nirav Pandya joining us on the other side, professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF, and 95.7 The Game Injury Health Insider. To talk about that hamstring strain from one Stephen Curry is going to be brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
What makes Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water different? We always bottle our Alpine Spring Water less than 1.5 miles from the spring source, and all our bottles are made with 50% recycled plastic from our own recycling plants. Crystal Geyser, bottled at the spring source.
It's Spadoni here, talking about the Oakland roots, and you gotta know your roots. I know Carter knows his roots. I know Sam Lubin knows his roots. I don't know if Shasky knows his roots. We'll see. But the Oakland roots are facing off against San Antonio FC this Saturday, May 10th. And you can catch the game on KTVU Plus or ESPN Plus. It's a great place to go, hang out, enjoy a day, at the Collie, if you're going on the road, wherever you're going, if you're following this team, hey, it's such a great place to go. You know why? It's always a good date spot to go to a game, right? The Coliseum is historic, and we've seen football played there, and we've seen baseball. But now we got soccer, baby. Speaking of soccer, you see that game yesterday? Inter Milan versus Barcelona. Oh, my God. It was incredible. Come out and show your Oakland pride and enjoy the energy of an Oakland Roots game. Go to OaklandRootsSC.com to get your tickets today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Thick as Pat Spencer, but I do my best.
You get yours to curl around your mouth Fu Manchu style? Like
I can, but it looks gross. It's not as thick, so it just looks more dirty and like rat-like. Yeah, it's tough. We got Dr. Navpandia joining us here momentarily. In the meantime, I do want to get some of the calls. Nick, Mike, Jeb, is that a Jebediah? We got a lot of Jersey calls lately. I'm not mad at that. Coach Hall, Aubrey, I want to get to all of you in just a second. Because we're talking about Pat Spencer, and you know it's a good game when you got Pat Spencer talking after the game, Joe. I want to hear from Pat Spencer, of all people. I didn't expect that. I threw it at you yesterday, right? I think Sam hopped on. I was like, you expect any Pat Spencer minutes yesterday? You're like, maybe. And Sam was like, yeah, in a blowout. It wasn't a blowout. It wasn't. And he was getting legitimate minutes in that game. Now, at the time, they might have been like kind of blowing him out, if you will. But even like a 15 to like 20-point lead, again, in the NBA, that's nothing now. Like that, again, it was dissipated like that. It was almost an 8-point lead within a couple minutes.
Think about that stuff happens. A couple months ago, this guy had a couple of moments, and I came in here, and I remember opening segment, and I looked at Carter, I looked at you, and I was like, dude, I'm telling you, Pat Spencer can play. I'm not here to say that he's some starter,
no. You
know, whatever. The guy can play. Like, you could do a lot worse. And he might be your most athletic guard, which is saying something.
He's saying something,
okay?
Actually.
Like, but Buddy's an underrated athlete. Like, he has great conditioning, but, like, jumping and lateral quickness, he's better than I gave him credit for. I'm talking about Buddy. But Pat Spencer gets to where he wants on the floor, and he got hops.
Let's call it what it is. We underestimate his athleticism because of how he looks. Like this, let's just call it. It's okay to say it, people. He's got the handlebar mustache. He looks 40. He's white.
I'll be the first to admit it.
It's okay.
I love me the try-hard white guy backup. All right, I just do. All right, I'm not gonna back down from this.
I know, and the way he did DiVincenzo on that shot. You know, for the white community, that was a big deal for the white NBA basketball community. Dr. Pandya joining us on the River Islands guest line right now. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, Dr. Navpandia, professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF, and our 95.7 The Game injury health insider. Doc, good morning. I'm just going to get right into it. Your initial reaction when you saw the injury and you saw Steph grabbing the back of his leg the way he did, were you thinking cramps? Were you thinking hamstring? What was going through the doc's mind?
Yeah, I thought initially it might have been cramps, you know, because there wasn't any kind of, you know, like large twist or was he sprinting and then he kind of pulled up. So I was thinking cramps, but then you see him immediately call for a sub. So that got me a little bit more concerned. And I think when he was grabbing higher up on his leg, that was when I got a little bit more worried because, you know, the higher up that hamstring injury is, the more it can be a longer recovery. So that was definitely concerning to me when I saw that.
And the fact, Doc, that he was ruled out so quickly, what does that tell you as, you know, if you're Dr. Rick Celebrini or you're one of the trainers, like, because as a fan, when you see ruled out or not questionable, like, it means, okay, well, like, this is more serious than we thought. Is that kind of how you were gathering that information too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of those things I was hoping that maybe this was just a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a cramp and they would bring him back out. But the fact that he didn't come back out to the bench, it was a quick diagnosis, is the fact that, hey, this is something that they're a little bit more concerned about. And, you know, they're already starting treatment on, you know, they've got, you know, as much as you can get that treatment in to help this hamstring heal, you're starting right in the middle of the game. So definitely that a quick diagnosis and not coming back out to the bench made me, you know, made me a little bit more worried.
I've had a couple different strains. I'm not pretending to be Steph Curry, but I always felt like it was a combination of dehydration and overuse. What do you think caused this? What does cause a strain?
Yeah, I think for the vast majority of people, even though we kind of remember, you know, the Olympic sprinter, you know, running and pulling up and grabbing his hamstring, or the soccer player, most of these are due to overuse and fatigue over a period of time. And, you know, as you guys are talking about, the number of games, those nine games in 15 days and then every other day in the playoffs, that leads to a lot of wear and tear on the body. And then eventually what happens is that hamstring just fails. And you see that happen with Curry. There wasn't kind of one step or something that went wrong, or he went up for a layup and landed awkwardly. It was like he shot a three and suddenly he's grabbing his hamstring. So it's that combination of fatigue, dehydration, a lot of explosive activity over a period of time. So all those things seem to lay, you know, the evidence that this was probably something that was building up for a period of time just from all the intensity the Warriors had to go through to get to this point.
All right, so I guess the question now becomes, it's impossible without seeing whatever the MRI is or getting a feel for him, but where do you think this lands him? We've seen Chris Paul where he just completely comes up gimp and he's out and just done indefinitely because it's toward the end of the playoffs. What's the most optimistic prognosis? What's the most pessimistic prognosis?
Yeah, so I would think, you know, the really, really bad things. We were worried about, okay, this is the end of the, you know, even if they make it to the finals, like, he wouldn't be able to play. The fact that he got up, he was still running around, walked to the locker room, you've eliminated that kind of grade three complete tear. Like, you just can't do what he did if you've completely torn your hamstring. Now you're wondering, okay, is this maybe a grade one or grade two based on an MRI? Best case scenario would be, this is a grade one. It's just more fatigue. He felt something. They're being super cautious. And you're looking at a week, you know, like most grade ones usually land around a week. Grade twos become a little trickier. Those are kind of the 2 to 3 week long injuries. My gut tells me that based on the fact that Kerr said he's day to day, that he was walking around, this hopefully lands more of a, okay, where in the series are you going to play? It's based on how the team's going. It doesn't necessarily look like this could be, okay, end of the series, and we're hoping that he makes it back for the next round. So best case, couple days. Worst case, maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
Talking to Dr. Nirav Pandya, professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF and our 95.7 The Game Injury Health Insider. And Doc, talking about this hamstring strain, so, you know, we see it all the time in football and baseball, like the time, like, what are these guys going to look like when they do come back? So, Steph, like, is this something that he's going to have to monitor and deal with when he does come back through the entirety of the playoffs if they do make a deep run into the finals?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think especially given his age, you know, whenever these hamstrings tear, you know, basically what you're depending on to basically get you back quickly is there's some degree of scar tissue that's in there. We know that although scar tissue can sometimes hold an area together, especially if you've got a lot of other muscle around it, that area is more prone to cause pain, to re-injure itself. And if you look at hamstring injuries, the two things you worry about besides getting back on the court is that there's a high rate of re-injury. We see that a lot in football and baseball players. And there's also a rate of injury to other parts of your body. Your hamstrings are so important to helping stabilize your lower leg. So it may not be a hamstring. Are you worried about an ankle or something else? So that's really where the medical staff has to make this decision of, okay, do we push it to get him back, or are we being extra cautious so that we don't get that repeat injury or get something else? And that's where, unfortunately, what happens with, you know, pro athletes is you're looking at how the team's doing and what's the risk of potentially, can we win without him playing, or do we have to take that risk and put him in because we're worried about how the series is going?
So let's say he's feeling 80, 75%. I don't know. I'm just throwing numbers out there. What, like, how does this work? Like, what is it? What do they do? Is there some sort of medication or something he can take on the front end to numb pain? Is this a tolerance thing? Is this a not accelerated thing? Like, what does this look like? Let's say it's game four or game five and they have to get him back. How does this shake down for him?
Yeah, unfortunately with these hamstrings, you don't want to kind of mask pain, and because you are worried more about structural injury, it's one of those things that pain is indicating to you that muscle is getting stressed. So you definitely want to know if the pain's there. You know, it's a hard area to brace. I think the key thing when you're trying to get people back, you know, from hamstring injuries is, number one, in game, are you doing things to prevent that muscle from tightening up? So he's on the exercise bike, you're heating that area up. And then number two is, you may have to change the way you're utilizing them in the game. So, you know, Curry covers so much court, and all that running and constant movement is going to play stress on that hamstring. So Steve Kerr figuring out a way that Curry can get shots, or how he plays, so he doesn't have to have as much movement to get that shot. So these are the little nuances you can do to make sure that hamstring isn't getting stretched. But unfortunately, it's different for a center. You know, Kevon Looney, has a hamstring issue. He's not as mobile and running around, so you can get him back quicker. For Curry, his game's predicated on moving around. So how can Steve Kerr change the offense and have different lineup combinations so maybe he doesn't have to run around as much and can just shoot threes like a spot-up shooter and not have to worry about creating his own shot?
So you obviously, you know sports in and out. You love sports, and I know you coach and everything, and obviously you have the doctor, the medical background. And just as someone casually watching this but is pretty locked in, what is your perception of just the league and what they do with the players in terms of the schedule and the every other day and the big stretch down the stretch? Are you surprised this doesn't happen more often, I guess, is the question, even though these are world-class athletes?
Yeah, I totally agree, Joe. I think I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. And I know that we talk about load management and all these other things. 82 games is way too many games, particularly in the condensed way that they play. So if the NBA wants to play 82 games, they should extend the season out and have more days of rest. We know that the more minutes you play, the older you are, you're more likely to get these injuries. And you see players like, Dame Lillard tearing his Achilles. You see all these big soft tissue injuries. It's just a lot of minutes and a lot of games, mashed together. And I think if the league wants to not have Steph Curry get injured, which is, a huge moneymaker for them, they have to extend things out. And in the playoffs, do you really need to be playing every other game? Could you have 2 days off? Because it's good for the players, it's good for the teams, it's good for the fans. So I think they definitely need to look at how are we structuring the season so that our top players are out there and not getting hurt.
Hey, Doc, great stuff, man. We really appreciate the time this morning, and good luck in the future. And hopefully we don't have you on again. I hate saying that, but it means usually it's the bearer of bad news. But hey, Doc, we really appreciate the time as always, man. And
thanks, Doc.
Have a good rest of your morning.
Yeah, no problem. You too, guys. Thanks.
There he goes. That is Dr. Nirav Pandya, professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF. 95.7 The Game Injury Health Insider. Doc is the best in the business. He is tapped in on all things injuries. He's a great follow on Twitter. Big Warriors fan, big Bay Area fan. So if you're not following him, you better go ahead and do that. We got a lot of calls I want to get to after this. But when he was saying that, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think we talked at the same time. But I was going to liken it to... No, you're good. I was going to liken it to it's different, right, for each position. Like a hamstring for a big man that's not moving laterally as much. It's different. I was going to liken it to, it's different if Tom Brady has a hamstring injury than Rob Gronkowski.
Or Julian Edelman.
Tom, his game's not predicated on Lamar Jackson style stuff. He could just chill in the pocket, move around a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not to say it's not going to hamper him at all, because it still will. Like pushing off with the torque, all of that. Like your legs and your lower body, that gives the upper body all of its strength. It has to come from there. I'm not trying to be a doctor or a physical therapist.
Right.
But there's different levels to this. And Stephen Curry, his game, probably more than any other, is predicated on acceleration and constant movement. So him just being a stand-up shooter at times, if that's what this is going to turn into, it changes everything for the Golden State Warriors. And yes, it's going to put more of the onus on who? Jimmy Butler, probably, to be that guy. Yeah,
there's no doubt. I mean, your point is a great one. Like, if a pitcher gets a blister injury, he cannot do his job. If a center fielder gets one, he can still do his job. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he can still fight through it. And so, look, the other thing that I think we're underrating, and obviously LeBron is this way. Steph Curry is Wolverine, superhuman. So, the normal person injury and the recovery time is dramatically different than the professional athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, their genes are just built on a whole nother level than ours. That being said, their pain tolerance is unreal.
Yeah.
It is unreal. And I'm actually really surprised that we don't see more injuries. I mean, I'm not pretending to be a doctor. I watch these games. I watch how much energy and effort goes into it. And you saw every single team, whether it was the Clippers Nuggets game or whether it's the Warriors Rockets game, by the time you get to these game sevens, these guys are hunched over.
Exhausted.
Completely gassed. Yeah. Completely gassed. And when you've been doing 40 minutes a night and playing 100, 110 games every year for 15 years, Yeah, it completely catches up to you. And I don't think you can avoid injuries. There's no other way around. Like, guys are going to get hurt in any sport. That being said, you put barometers in place, seatbelts in place for a reason. And the 82-game schedule with 13 back-to-backs, like, what are you doing, you know? And then this sprint down the stretch with this play-in situation. Like, there's a lot of ways that they can at least diminish and have guys be their more fresh come playoff time. It's the same thing in the NFL. We're having the same conversation about 18-game schedule.
Which is they're going to go
and
to.
And it's stupid.
It's ridiculous.
And we know it's stupid. And we know Thursday night games do nothing good for the brain and the body. Exactly. We know this.
Yeah.
We know this. So, I don't know. I'm going to get off my soapbox. I watch. I'm not going to pretend like I'm morally higher than others. I watch because I love it, and I do love, as a viewer, having every other night. But I also understand it's a diminished product.
Let's go to Coach Hall in San Diego. He's been waiting very patiently. We appreciate it. Aubrey, we'll go to you next. Nick, Mike, Jeb, all of you, we'll get to you, I promise. 888-957-9570. The emotions coming out of a Game 1 victory can be all over the place, Dub Nation. I want to know what you're feeling right now as you're waking up on this beautiful hump day in the Bay. 99-88, Warriors up 1-0, but how long are you going to be without Stephen Curry? We shall see. Coach Hall, good morning. What you got, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Sorry.
Hey, Joe, I'm right with you, man. I think Pat is a gamer. I'm not sure if he's going to get extended minutes, but I do enjoy watching his game. I think Steve Curry did a masterful job. Personally, I think that's the best game I've ever seen Draymond play. Maybe not points-wise like the Cavs series, but his emotional intelligence in that game last night and just galvanizing, you know, his troops when they were coming back, I had never seen him do that, at least in a long time.
No bad turnovers.
Right, yeah, and the turnovers. And I think going into game two, I don't know, Joe, I'm curious to know what you think. Do we go for broke? Do we try to get another one? Or do we play conservative? Because, I mean, Paz didn't get off yesterday. Moody didn't get off. I think there's a lot left out on the court. And if Paz can knock down the shot, I don't know, man. We might be able to steal another one. I'm curious to hear you guys' take on
that. I'm with you.
Thanks, Coach Hall.
I'm not ready to just wave the white flag on every game that Curry doesn't play. Let's find out what the length of absence is. And then, B, let's strategize with what we have, and let's try to throw the kitchen sink at Minnesota. Now, that doesn't mean play Jimmy 45 minutes and Draymond 45 minutes, but I think that the collective, like Guy Santos got a little burn, Quinn Post got a little burn in this one, Moody got a little burn. All three of those guys can do more. I do. I don't even think they played close to what they can give you. Maybe one of them has a good game. Pajemski, we know, has it in him to play better. And I thought he had a solid game, but he could play much, much better. We know Jimmy can be a force and can score, but I also think his floor game can stay about the same in terms of setting up others. I don't know if Draymond's shooting can stay there, but him staying under control and defensively, that can be bottled up for the next game. And then Jonathan Kuminga, I think one of the biggest things coming out of this game is that you got some positive stuff from Jonathan Kuminga that he can build on. We all know he's got potential. Now, I'm not here to say he's going to score 25 next game, but if he scored 15 or 16 in the next one, I think we're going to be right there. We're going to be right where we need to be. GP2, we know at times he can be a positive contributor. We know Kevon Looney can play in this series and will play in this series and is going to be a big factor. Don't sleep on that coach and this team to kind of find a way to be in a game in game two. I'm not sleeping on him.
It's going to be very difficult because we watched this team without Stephen Curry in the Jimmy Butler era, and it was rough offensively. It was a rough watch. I just remember those first two games of that road trip, that huge road trip where they lost to Atlanta and Miami, not exactly world beaters of teams, and it was bad.
The focus of a Jimmy, Kerr, and Butler in an Atlanta-Miami like vacation at the end of the season versus where they are now.
That was a big Miami game. Miami game, and it was a stinker. I'm just telling you, from what we've seen without Stephen Curry.
We're not comparing the regular season trip. And
it's going to be
big.
It's going to be harder
for the regular season. This is life or death.
Correct. That's why it's going to be harder, is what I'm saying, without Stephen Curry in the playoffs.
Yeah, but their focus level will be cranked up.
Sure, I don't care how focused they are. You got to score. Like, you can have as much focus as you want. You're going to be without one of the greatest, if not the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. You're going to miss him. Like, I'm not saying,
of
like...
Of course you are.
Yes, exactly. But I'm just not going to sit here and act like it's going to be a cakewalk and we're going to walk through
the... Who said that?
No, but I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here, but it's going to be very difficult to stay in this series without Stephen Curry. It's going to be very difficult to do that. Not saying it's impossible. It's going to have to come down to one guy, and you mentioned all those other plays. Great.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is going to have to be.
This is why you got him.
This is why you got him. He has to be the guy going forward, because you know what? Jimmy missed a game last series, basically missed two games, and Stephen Curry had to be that guy. And they won one without Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Curry was that dude.
And I've seen this organization with different versions win games without Steph as well in the playoffs. I referenced the Ian Clark game. He slipped on the floor in Houston. Now, again, it was a first-round matchup. I watched them when Steph, I believe, came off the bench and didn't play to start the Blazer series in the second round many years ago. Like, they've done it at times. They've withstood certain injuries for a game or two or three, right? He's got to come back at some point. I'm not saying they win every game. I'm saying if he's out three, they'll win one. That's how confident I am in this team.
Let's go to Aubrey in Vallejo, 888-957-9570. Again, it's the same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. What are your emotions this morning, Dub Nation? You get the win, but potentially lose Steph Curry. Aubrey, good morning. What you got, man?
Good morning. So I'm feeling pretty good about last night. So I do hope that Curry's okay.
Okay. And?
And I'm kind of amazed how the defense showed up last night, how everybody all came together and stepped up to the plate, especially Spencer, Butler, as well as Draymond.
All right. No, I'd say defensively coming out of that game, and thank you, Aubrey and Vallejo. Defensively coming out of that game, I feel pretty good if I'm the Golden State.
Aubrey was very efficient with that call.
Yeah, he was. He was Pat Spencer, right?
He was so efficient.
He was very efficient. He was getting in and getting out. And there was an awkward pause there.
Reverse Ant Edwards.
It's okay. Anthony Edwards, by the way. God, that guy was searching early in that game. And credit to the Warriors defense, as he was doing right there. But again, am I going to expect 88 points from Minnesota going forward? No, I think there was. You could do two things coming out of that game. Two things could be equally true. I said it earlier. Credit the Warriors and their defense, but also Minnesota. I don't think, they had their best offensive game plan or whatever the game plan was. They just couldn't execute it. But again, I'm not going to feel sorry about them taking horrible shots. That's on them, not on us. Continue to do that and put them in situations where they have to claw from behind. And getting out to a hot start would be great again coming into this game, too. That would be massive. Just keep it close. Keep it close in this next game. That's all I'm asking. Keep it close.
I think Minnesota's got a lot to adjust to. And obviously they're gonna have a completely different strategy without Steph Curry out there. And him being unavailable mid-game absolutely had to factor in to whatever their strategy was that had to be aborted, right?
Right. Like,
there's no doubt about it. And they will make adjustments. I actually really like Chris Finch as a coach. But I'm looking at this team and I'm like, I don't know, man. I think I overrated them coming in. It doesn't mean it's going to be some cakewalk. I don't view them on defense the same way I viewed Houston, and I don't view them offensively as this juggernaut that we can't stymie without Steph Curry on the floor.
Speaking of stymie, when you say that, I was thinking of Steiny because obviously Chris Finch is his boy. He likes to talk about ad nauseum. I did send Steiny a text message saying, hey, does your boy Finchie know that it's 2025 and you could practice three-point shooting? It's, just letting you know.
I hope you know the coach doesn't attempt the shots.
Well, he tells them to practice. I said practice. Does he know that you could practice
Shaq would hit
shooting?
Every free throw in practice, and then game time would come, and he was a, 55% free throw shooter.
It was a joke, Joe.
That team can't shoot.
Okay, sure.
Can they not?
You know who can? Nick in Berkeley. He wants to join the conversation. Nick, good morning. How are you feeling about that win, man?
Hey, man, that's a solid win right there. And you know what? I'm going to say it again. Like I said on Friday, bow down and kiss Steve Kerr's rings, you know what I'm saying? Because he's out coaching all these cats, man. He was playing. The fact of the matter is both Houston and, even though they were young, both the Warriors and Houston were gassed at the end of that game, man. It's a game seven. They put everything on the line. But they ran out of plays. Houston ran out of plays, and we didn't run out of plays. Because Kerr got plays for the regular season and each round of the playoffs. This man, he's a disciple of Phil Jackson and Popovich, man. And he got gold medals. Like, what part of this stuff don't people understand? Criticizing Steve Kerr, are you people crazy? Who else would you rather have coaching the team? You know what I'm saying? And that cat Spencer, he's back to the future. At first I was thinking he's a throwback, but he just popped out of a time capsule from the future and came back with the handlebar mustache going retro and jumping out of the gym. Man, the cat cracked me up.
Do you like that, Nick? You did that. I don't know if you do that intentionally, Nick, in Berkeley. Cat Spencer?
Bro.
I love that.
Dude.
That's what we're calling him going
forward. Someone just sent me a Pat Spencer. It's a Photoshop. It's Kareem doing the skyhook with Pat Spencer's face on it. Like, everybody in the Bay Area is waking up with Pat Spencer-itis.
Why shouldn't you? Hey, again, Pat Spencer. He was backing down yesterday. He stays ready.
Man, I love the work, so that's easy. You know, I think the best part for me is I'm wired a little bit differently. I'm going to compete every time I step on the floor, so I'm not scared of anybody across the lines. And the work is the work, man. I've put in the work all year, year in and year out. So excited to get the opportunity. Unfortunately, it had to be Steph going down to get it. And like I said, get him back ASAP. I think we can make a run here.
A working man's man, if you will, Joe Shasky.
He did all that in Carhartt jeans.
He did,
right? Like overalls or something.
Oh, man.
God, I love that guy so much.
He's going to take over for Drew Brees and Brett Favre for Wrangler, I think. Real comfortable jeans. There you go. Remember those all the time? It was those two guys.
Dude, Nick and Berkeley said he was from the past, even though it's back to the future. He
called him Cat Spencer. That's all I know.
But I was nodding in agreement. Like, he was cooking.
Let's go to Mike in San Leandro, has been holding on tight. Mike, good morning. How are we feeling about that Warriors win last night?
We're going to put this thing up. We don't have to put this thing through. Hello?
Mike, you there? What was that saying?
Are you a plumber?
Yeah,
what are you
doing? I'm sorry. Okay.
Are you a contractor?
Work, but I'm sorry. Yes, I'm a plumbing contractor.
Okay, nice.
Shouts out to you, man.
Yeah. I was, my whole family.
Yeah, I was actually talking to my guys, and I heard you guys come on.
Hey, tell your guys I know a P-trap better than anyone.
Exactly. I was like explaining to the crew going over thing. But two things. I just want to say two things. The first thing is that Houston Rockets team, that was some of the grimiest plan. And I think that was a good tune-up for the Warriors. That was a good. So I think that's why they're doing good now. I said if we can get past them with the griminess that they did, I think that we're going to be all right. And then yesterday they showed after the game that they will do pretty good, I believe. If Steph Curry, at the worst-case scenario, if they got to carry us a couple of games just until he get a little bit better at the worst-case scenario.
Totally.
You know, hopefully you guys agree with that.
I do.
So the second, I love Pat Spencer's energy. That dude is funny to watch. I remember when I seen him for the first time playing at the California Classic. When I seen him for the first time, I said, man, this guy, he got a lot of energy. He got enough energy to give to give some away. I like his energy and his hustle, and that's all I pretty much want to say. You guys have a good one.
Great call.
I watched him at the California Classic.
Oh,
I was
you
at
did?
The same game. Yeah, me, Dr. Rapandia, Bonte, Guru. We were courtside, you know, we were just chilling. I was wearing flip flops, they were making fun of me. I didn't think I was going courtside.
Guy Santos, Pat Spencer, guys like that, GP2, I think as well. There are certain guys that out hustle and outwork people on the floor, and you just appreciate their game, right? And like, there's something about guys like that,
and they have to. They know that for them to be on the court, they have to do that.
There's no doubt. Yeah. But the thing about Pat Spencer that I love is he sneakily can get to his spots on the floor and get a shot off.
Cool. Why's it got to be sneakily?
Because I think that people they see a white guy coming off
Thank
the bench
you.
Who's 28 years old, who's a rookie who played lacrosse,
Gym
and
rat.
They're like, who is this guy with this goofy mustache, right?
Yeah.
And like, look, there was an element before he became all-time guy. You were like, Ginobili, are you kidding me?
Money.
Or it just didn't look right. And you were like, he's unorthodox, he's goofy, he's try-hard guy. And then, now, I'm not saying that's, you know, Ginobili's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest international players of all time. A legend.
Might be the greatest six man ever.
Yeah. A legend, even though he closed every game. A legend five times.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. But there's something about, like, we underestimate it. And, like, Larry Bird's talked about it. You're going to put the white guy on me? Like, we do that in this sport.
Larry was harder on the white guys all the time. Like I think of Bomani Jones tweet. He's like, yeah, dude, I don't even think he gave Dirk credit until he won the title in 2011. Hey, it's funny. I was thinking about, you know, the famous clip. This one, we got it, like, you know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. Hey, they got Anthony Edwards. We got Pat Spencer. Am I right?
That's how I feel this morning.
There you go.
But you know
they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Look, Jaden McDaniels was actually really good in this game.
He was.
But defensively, what I noticed from him versus Amen Thompson, Amen's not he doesn't have to leap to defend.
He's strong.
Yeah, he's so strong. But the discipline of not jumping to defend is some guys do it, some guys don't. And Carter will know what I'm talking about. Big time hooper over there, Carter, right, as I'm looking through the glass.
Both he and I can touch the rim.
Jaden McDaniels, he gets caught up in the misdirection. And so he loves to leap out, and he's jumping as a defender. He's a different kind of defender. Buddy Hield had him in like the Crucible. Buddy Hield.
Great movie.
So I think Buddy's offense, though maybe not as prolific, I do think he will have a sustained impact on offense. He got, even though he started off 0-8 to start the game, he got a lot of great looks. He's going to keep getting great looks. Pod's got great looks. Kuminga got good
looks. Pod's
going
to need to hit. Like, that's the guy without Steph. Like, that's going to be in the starting lineup getting open shots still. Brandon Pajemski going forward, he's going to need to find that three-point stroke, and he's going to need to find that scoring. Absolutely. Let's go out to Oscar and Martinez. He wants to talk about Pat Spencer. Oscar, good morning.
Yo, good morning, fellas.
What's up, dog?
How's it going?
It's going great. It's beautiful out in the Bay. Warriors are up 1-0.
Woo!
Nothing to complain about except a quarterly, monthly meeting coming up in a couple hours, but we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah, big time. I just want to call here and say, as an OG Pat Spencer fan, I've been just loving this guy since like week one of the season. It's really nice to see him finally get his flowers after all this time. I feel it in my heart. Such a great sight to see. And I want you guys to stick with me here. I have a like kind of out there opinion, but I really believe it entirely with my entire being. I fully believe this thing that I'm about to say. I believe that Pat Spencer is a better two-sport athlete than Michael Jordan was.
Okay.
He was the Heisman equivalent of a lacrosse player in college.
Okay. I don't know where to go with that one.
He's a better two-sport athlete than Michael Jordan. Well, there's a guy by the name of Brian Jordan who everyone references Dion and Bo Jackson.
Of course.
Brian Jordan was like a legit baseball and football player.
Right.
I don't know if you even know the name Brian Jordan.
No, I could go like Jeff Samardzija. I can go like Tony
Samardzija's
Gonzalez.
Good.
Like,
Brian Jordan, a Braves and Dodger legend.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the most passionate call about Pat.
Dog, I loved it. My guy was ready to cry. And he's like, I believe this to my soul. Pat Spencer is a better two-way athlete than Michael Jordan. Please save that call.
I tried to talk him off that. Just like, are you sure you really want to call him in? Like, you can pick any other athlete to compare him to. He's like, nope, hey, Michael Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
I'm like, Oscar, you sure about this? And he's like, yep, I want it.
Jordan hitting, like, whatever, 220 in the minors for the Barons. Do you know who the coach was?
No, who was it?
Tito Francona.
That's right. Terry Francona was.
When you look at the swing, Jordan's swing was so bad in baseball.
So awful.
I don't know how he batted over 200.
Right.
I really don't.
Just grit. That's why.
Give him
toughness.
A tennis racket.
That's right. All right, Pat.
Give him a tennis. Actually, the greatest two-sport athlete of all time, and it's a multi-sport athlete, is Rick Barry. And I will go to my death. That man can hit a golf ball 300 yards during the crappy equipment era of golf. Could hit a tennis racket. Elite pickleball player. Could have played baseball.
I mean,
Rick Barry's one of the greatest athletes of all time.
I mean, I don't mean to go steiny on everyone and go like old man, but it's Jim Thorpe. I mean,
thanks.
It's Jim Thorpe.
I mean, yeah.
Stop.
Another good one is Mookie Betts.
There you go.
Mookie Betts is a good one.
Shout out.
Matt
Kemp. There you go. Speaking of Pat Spencer, you want to know where that toughness, you want to know where it comes from, Joe? Let's take a listen.
I think it's lacrosse, and I think it's a little bit just being off in the head. My brother and I have been going at it for years. So, you grow up in a household with three brothers. You learn to fight. If you're willing to kill your brother over a game of pickup, dude on the other side of the line is going to get it.
Oh, that was Pat Spencer, all Bonte Festus and Mole, all those guys at BC Sports Bay Area.
Sentence of all time. Anyone who grew up with brothers, cousins, whatever,
sure.
Like if you're the youngest, you were born in the bottom of the depths.
Oh, you're bred early. Like I was bullied with five older brothers as soon as I could start walking and talking. And that's just, you know, I feel like Bane a little bit when he got five older brothers. That's what happens. And then he got one little brother, so you have to pick on him because he got no one else to pick on. So there you go. Love you, Mikey, if you're listening.
Pat Spencer, the greatest tweet was last night. Someone put it out. I retweeted it. Pat Spencer is the Michael Jordan of TJ McConnell's. And
okay,
I was
we need
dying.
To stop with the Michael Jordan stuff right now. Guy, but
just give the guy his day. Today is Pat Spencer. I need Daniel Lurie. Get the mayor on the phone.
Why
I need Daniel
need to
Lurie
to the
announce
mayor
today
it.
Is Pat Spencer day forever
cut the
in
ribbon.
San Francisco.
Cut the ribbon. Where are we going to go at? Where's...
Get this man a key to the city.
Do they actually get
what
like,
is
a
going
key?
On here?
Dude, if you didn't, like, jump out of your chair when he hit the running hook shot over Gobert. Best pitcher, my boy. I know Carter could. He could hear me, even though he was in class. He could hear me from my house into the classroom screaming, I've always been a Pat Spencer guy.
You know, they got Anthony Edwards, but we got Pat Spencer. Brendan is in SF, wants to talk about that game last night. 99-88. We're reacting all day long right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors improved to 1-0 in the Western Conference semis over the Minnesota Timberwolves, but might have to do it without Stephen Curry going forward. We will reveal, and any news we get in regards to Stephen Curry's hamstring, I promise we will relay that information.
Joe, Looney played great. Draymond played great.
I told you it was a team effort. As a team
win. Buddy Hield. I mean, are we going to start sizing him up for a statue?
Okay. Can we get Barry Bonds a statue first here in the Bay before we give one?
No,
to Buddy?
We got to get Buddy one.
Okay, Brendan is in San
and
Francisco.
And it's him riding the horse doing the bow wow or whatever the heck that thing was.
Bow bow bow
bow bow bow.
Brendan, what you got?
Good morning, guys. Happy to have a Warriors win, and I need Steph to play just slightly smarter. He needs to get Buddy healed quick because we're going to need him for this series. Someone who has been playing the game as long as he has. When he first got that twinge, he's got to be calling to get to the sideline and get it rested because he's not the youngest player on the floor anymore. And as soon as that thing starts aggravating, he needs to get to the sideline because we're going to need him for this series and the rest of them.
Brendan, thank you. Great call. I liked what he did. I give him a 4 for the Steph needs to get Buddy healed quick. Get it? Healed? Like H-E-A-L-E-D?
Buddy was so good. I mean, all of us are thinking the same thing. Are you kidding me? He's having back-to-back unreal performances. Look, no one is going to say that
and you all
he's
doubted
Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
But it gave you vibes of what Klay would give you, where he's just go unconscious at times during these playoff games. It's like he couldn't miss.
Who was the most impressive Warrior yesterday? I'll just say Warrior, because it could have been Steve Kerr, the head coach. Okay, hell, Jerry Stackhouse. That defense for the Warriors yesterday was incredible. Ron Adams, if you want to say him. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. In the meantime, it is time for the injury report.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
I just threw that to you. I just threw it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I love how he gave you the one finger
you
up.
That one time for the one time.
It's like me when I cook the eggs for right
now. Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
No, the female partners do not like when you put the one finger up when you tell them to give me a minute. They do not like that. I'll tell you that. You know what else I don't like? The Stephen Curry hamstring injury, and he's under the microscope today. He left in the second quarter of last night's win with what was diagnosed as a hamstring strain. An MRI will provide more information today, but Steve Kerr said he expects the Warriors to be without Steph for at least game 2, but a longer absence is very possible. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We got Anthony, we got Jay, we got T-Stuck, we got Jeb in Jersey. We got all the calls. We're halfway home on a hump day here in the Bay. Warriors 99, T-Wolves 88. They take a 1-0 series lead. Again, all road teams thus far have got the wins in these playoffs. First time in NBA history, Joe, that all four road teams got the win in the Western or Eastern Conference semis. Pretty incredible. So we'll discuss that all show long. It's Spadoni at Shasky. And it's the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. I wish mine was as thick as Pat Spencer.